This is the Rental Income Podcast, where we talk to owners of rental properties and give you actionable tips and advice that will help you make more money while dealing with less hassle. And now your host, Dan Lane.
I put together a list of seven things I wish I knew earlier about renting properties, and you can download your free copy. Just go to my website, freelandlordgift.com. So one thing that I've been struggling with here recently is I want to buy more rental properties. I just love being a landlord and would love to buy more properties. But the problem I'm having is that where I live in Northern Virginia, the numbers just don't make sense. I just can't find anything where the numbers are going to cash flow to a point where it makes sense to me. For me, it's really kind of paralyzed me and stopped me from taking action and moving forwards. Last week, I met Nick Pulse, and Nick is an investor in the exact same market that I'm in, but Nick is having no problem finding rental properties. So, Nick, you bought your last house as recently as July, right?
Yeah. Yes.
And the difference is that I'm looking for rentals right here in my market, where Nick is looking for rentals wherever he can find them.
Yes, that's right.
So I want to explore that a little bit more here on the show today. But why don't we first start with you just telling us a little bit about yourself and how you got started in real estate investing.
Sure, Dan. First of all, thanks a lot for having me on the show. I'm super excited to be here.
Awesome.
So a little bit about me. Let me tell you my story. So I was active duty military for the last 11 and a half years. I enlisted shortly after 9/11, spent most of that decade in the Army. And I got out at the end of 2013.
Okay.
While I was in the service, I realized I didn't want to work for anybody anymore. I wanted to create financial freedom for myself and for my family, and then offer that service too to anybody else, extended family, friends, et cetera, that wanted to be a part of it. So to that end, when I left the Army, I created a security consulting business, which shortly thereafter joined with another already existing security consulting business named TOS. So I'm a part owner of TOS. And then I also created a real estate investment company called Wyffrom Group. And so Wyffrom Group's vision is quite simply to teach others how to turn that retirement and that savings model on its head. The old model used to be, hey, you build up a pile of cash, you put it in a savings account or you put it in a retirement account, and then you hope that that pile is big enough for you to live off of and have a little bit of security and safety in your life for you and your family. So I want to turn that on its head. And what we're doing is taking some or all that pile of cash and using it to buy assets, and with the goal of those assets putting off a positive cash flow every month, so that now you're developing and creating other streams of income so that you're not solely reliant on one source of income, which gives you that certain amount of freedom. And the more you do it, the more income streams you're able to develop, and ultimately you have the financial freedom and security to actually enjoy life.
When you first started, did you look around here in Northern Virginia at all?
We've been out here in Northern Virginia since 2009, and
okay.
I didn't look very hard in Northern Virginia until probably the beginning of 2014, when I had a lot more time because I was out of the Army, right? All
okay.
the deployments kept taking me overseas. So as I looked into the Northern Virginia market, the numbers that I was looking for, because our goal and my goal is to develop another revenue stream monthly.
Mm-hmm.
And so in order for that to happen, we have to be able to buy property at a certain, you know, the difference between how much we pay for and how much we rent it out. We're looking for about 1 to 1.5%. So if you buy a house for $100,000, we want to be able to rent it out for between $1,000 and $1,500 a month, because what that allows us to do is it allows us to factor in expenses, any mortgage payment, and then give ourselves or any of those that invest with us a pretty good return.
Okay.
So I couldn't find those numbers in the Northern Virginia market. I'm not saying they're not there. I just haven't been able to find them. So we've looked elsewhere for those numbers.
What kind of markets are you looking at?
So the markets that we're looking for are areas where you have job growth, demographics where people are flown into the market so that they can sustain and they're looking to rent. We're looking for states that have low taxes or markets that have low taxes and generally are a freer economy. When you have a freer economy, businesses are likely to be there. When you have businesses, you have jobs, which means you have potential clients to stay in your properties.
So what are your top choices? Like, which markets in particular do you like?
So this last couple of months, we've done a lot of research, and the areas that we're looking in particular are Atlanta, Memphis, Little Rock, were the areas that we kind of narrowed it down. And right now, we're getting ready to move into the Atlanta market.
Okay, the properties that you're buying are not turnkey rentals. Now, let me explain what that means. So a turnkey rental is a house that is already fixed up. It's got a tenant in place. So as an out-of-town buyer, you can just buy the house, and the day you close, you've got the rental income coming in. We on episode 21, we had Ali Boone on the show, and Ali specializes in buying turnkey rentals. If you haven't heard the show, you can hear it at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode21. It's a really interesting show. But Nick, the properties that you're buying, these are not turnkey rentals. So you're buying the house, you're rehabbing it, and then you're finding a tenant, right?
No, not necessarily. No, we're if the houses are ready to go, we'll purchase them. And if they do need a little bit of work, we just have to factor that into the actual price and then negotiate back and forth. But no, primarily we are looking for properties that are either move-in ready or just need a small amount of work.
Okay. And how do you find the properties? Are you working with realtors in the area or?
No, we haven't had too much luck with realtors. What we do is a lot of it's word of mouth, getting on the phone, calling local real estate investment clubs or other investors in the area. But we also started using a system where we get on the website Fiverr and we hire a virtual assistant and then give that virtual assistant a list of websites to search. And then on those websites, I give them keywords to look for. So as he's scanning through, just take Craigslist as an example. So he's scanning through 1,000 Craigslist for sale ads. Well, that was used to take us a lot of time. So it was better use of our time to hire somebody to skim, take that sales funnel, go from big to small, and then send us the most likely properties for us to find. So he gets those keywords that I tell him, things like motivated seller, seller financing, equity in the property, those kind of keywords. He sifts through all the properties. He sends us a list of whatever, 10, 15, 5, however many he finds. And then from there, we look at them and see if it's something that we're going to pursue. And we get on the phone with the seller and then go from there.
How much do you pay him for that?
So the website Fiverr, usually everything's in there is right around $5. What it ran us for a month is about $30 to $45. And what that looks like is basically, and you have to define it how you want them to search. But so we said, hey, you know, Monday we want you to search an hour, Wednesday we want you to search an hour, and Friday we want you to search an hour. And then come back and send us what you found on each day. Because what we found when we first started doing it is we said, hey, we want you to search 3 hours a week. Well, he or whoever we hired was going Monday, searching 3 hours, sending us the properties, and then there was no other searching for the rest of the week.
Right.
So that wasn't working. So it's been a refine the process.
So are you paying them hourly, or is it by the lead that they give you?
It's neither. It's by it's almost like a free market and negotiation. So will you go on Fiverr and you'll say, hey, this is what I want. And you'll have 3 or 4 or 5, 10 people come back and say, I can give you that. It's going to cost you $5. It's going to cost you $15. It's going to cost you $20, whatever that is. So what we're paying for is a month of – the most recent we're paying for is a month of searching. And we define, hey, we want you to search – I'd have to look at the numbers, but it's 4 hours a week. And then these are the days I want you to search an hour on this day, an hour on this day, an hour on this day.
When you get the list of properties – are you kind of scrubbing them or are you just calling the owners?
No, so we're scrubbing them because he or the person that we hire on Fiverr or the group of people, they're only looking at lists. They're only looking at, you know, keywords, buzzwords. So then once they get it to us, then we look at the numbers and we run our numbers to see if this is something that's going to make sense for us. And then once we sift them down even more, and then we get on the phone and start calling the sellers and talking to them about you know, how much they want for the property, what the condition of the property's in, and that kind of, and then start going down that road.
When you're looking at, say, for example, you're looking at Atlanta, and there was a house, and the seller says, I want $100,000 for the house. You're not from Atlanta. You don't know all the neighborhoods. How do you know if that's a good deal or not?
So what we'll do is we'll take that property. We'll look at some of the comparables that we find online. We'll get on the phone with property managers in the area and ask them. They'll often provide a free service where they'll go out and look at the property for you, evaluate it, run your comps with the goal and the hope of you then either using listing your property with them where they manage it, or when you go to sell it or buy it, use them as a service.
Wow.
So there's a couple different ways that we're able to evaluate the property. And then at that point, if we get it under contract, we'll get on a plane and we'll head down there. And then we'll actually walk the property, because there's a certain way that we try to negotiate is that we put into our contracts that there's a couple of days where you can walk away, contingencies to protect us because we're out of state.
So do you get a home inspection done too?
No, we don't typically get a home inspection. What we'll do because they're investment properties is once we get under contract, then we'll try to get a contractor to walk through it with us.
Okay.
And evaluate it, but we don't typically use home inspectors, or we haven't in the past.
Okay. So then you close on the property, and you would get the property management firm to advertise the property and get you a renter in there?
Yes. So that's how we did it in the past. Yep. And we're actually looking at changing that model a little bit, but until we come up with our final solution, that's how we do it. So then once we vet and hire the property management company, then it's their responsibility to find us a tenant. It's our job to make sure we get a good property manager.
All right. So let's talk some numbers. Can you tell me on, say, the last property you bought, how much did you pay for it?
Okay. So the last property bought was a duplex, and that was actually in Michigan. And that was around $30,000 for that one.
And then what rent are you getting for that?
So we have the upstairs and the downstairs. The upstairs is a little bit smaller. That one's rented out at $550 a month, and the downstairs is rented out at $650 a month.
And what are your expenses on that?
So the expenses are roughly about 50% of gross rent. Some months they're a little bit higher. Those are older properties, so the expenses are a bit higher.
For the expenses, that's covering the taxes, insurance, property management, and then any repairs that might come up?
Yes. Yeah, okay. That's how much we estimate monthly. And some months it's higher, but we estimate at least 50% of gross rent in expenses.
You're cash flowing about $600 a month then off that place.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
That is awesome. So $30,000, you're making $600 a month. That is beautiful.
Yep. Yep, and then we have a land contract that we also have to pay off, so it's a little bit smaller. But yeah, that's pretty good estimate there on the numbers.
That's awesome. So now, one last thing I want to ask you about when I was talking to you last week, you were telling me about the tree that fell down. So tell me that story. This is a great example of why you don't want to just hire a property management firm to manage your rental and then just be totally hands off. You want to manage your manager. So tell me what happened.
Right. So the couple of properties that we own in Michigan, when we bought them, we hired a property management company to manage them, and we thought we did a good job vetting that company. But as we started working with them and spent a couple of months working with them, we found out we didn't. So one of the things that happened is, as an example, is there was expenses that were getting charged that weren't being actually, they weren't actually expenses. So it's like example. So the tree, there was a tree that fell down, damaged a little bit of the siding on the house and a little bit of the roofing. And so the property management company sent us an invoice, I forgot the number, just say $100 to remove the tree and fix the siding. Well, a couple of weeks later, we had a real estate agent friend of ours just happened to be in the area. It was showing one of his clients' property, and he, he took a picture of the house and he sent it to us. And he said, hey, you have some damage on your siding, on your house. There's a tree essentially leaning on the house, ripped some of the siding off. And so what do you mean? We have his invoice saying that the management company had fixed that problem. Now, So that kind of stuff has started to add up, and that was just an example. And what we ended up finding out is there was a couple of things that we got charged for that weren't really problems. And so we had to end up terminating that relationship and going back and developing a better vetting process for a property management company. So just have to be, even though you find a good property management company, it's up to you as the owner to make sure that you put systems in place to vet them, so that you know what's going on at your properties.
Great advice. You know, that's I think a lot of people just assume that you have a property management firm, they're all good, but they're not. I mean, there's some good ones, there's some bad ones. You just got to find one of the good ones.
Yeah, exactly right.
All right. Well, Nick, I am ready for the lightning round if you are. Are you up for the challenge? You think you can get this done in 60 seconds?
I hope so, Dan. I'm ready. Let's try to stay hot. All right,
let's do it.
Now, the Rental Income Podcast Lightning Round. 5 rapid-fire questions and answers in 60 seconds.
The first question is, what's your favorite real estate book?
Tax-Free Wealth by Tom Wheelwright.
Number 2, the number one fear that I hear from people all the time on why they don't want to own a rental property is they don't want to get a call at 3 a.m. that a toilet's clogged. As a landlord, have you ever gotten this call?
No, and I don't think any of the property management companies that I've been involved with have either.
Number 3, if you had a property that was sitting vacant for 6 months, you had a potential renter apply that had horrible credit and a spotty work history, would you take a chance on them and rent to them or let the property sit?
It would depend on why their credit was horrible.
Okay, number 4, if you could give one piece of advice to a new landlord, what would it be?
Don't quit when the things go wrong, because they will. Keep working through it and creating systems.
And number 5, would you rent a property to your best friend?
Yes.
Nick, we did it.
All right.
Wow,
all
that
right.
Was probably the quickest lightning round ever. Great job. Great job.
All right, I was ready.
Well, Nick, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate you taking some time and talking to us. It was great talking to you. Do you want to give your website or tell us where we can find you online?
Yeah, sure. I appreciate Dan. Thanks again. It was absolute pleasure. So you can find this email address, info@whiffemgroup.com. That's Whiskey India India Foxtrot Mike Group.com. And a phone number, 830-386-4967.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for coming on, Nick. And thank you for listening and subscribing to the Rental Income Podcast. My name is Dan Lane, and we'll see you with the new episode next Tuesday.